remember if you were here last year, I came on Palm Sunday and shared a bit about Jesus being the rescue mission and how we have been handed that kind of mission on. And as a church partner, it's great to be able to come back and share with you some of the impact that you've had as a church partner. Obviously, Stuart and Tammy as leaders have decided that they want to support and partner with us in this movement with Hope for Justice. And so I thought it'd be great a year on to really celebrate some of the impact that you, through your prayer, through your financial support. I know that we had 5 or 6 Guardians sign up last year, which is amazing. And I'd really like to share with you about the impact that you've been able to have in restoring lives and giving people their freedom back. So as part of that, I wanted to really focus on one of the kingdom values that God really teaches us, which is about loving our neighbours today. For those of you that maybe weren't here last year or need a bit of a reminder, I just thought I'd give you a bit of background. So I actually grew up in Lincolnshire. Me and Josh are from Lincoln originally, so it feels nice to come back home where everywhere is flat and you can see for miles, because I live in Yorkshire now in Leeds with my husband Ben. But I was a youth leader at an event called the One Event. I don't know if you know of it. It's at the Lincolnshire Showground every year. And I really felt God kind of stir something up in my heart when I heard about Hope for Justice at a youth event. I was in the youth venue, and at the time I was hearing about victims of slavery the same age as the youth sat around me. And I just thought, as a youth leader, I'm trying to build these people up and show them their potential that they have and the dreams that God wants to give them in their life. Yet there's this evil going on, and there's people who are greedy, wanting to make a profit from the abuse of these girls that I was hearing about. And I felt like I really wanted to do something. And so throughout uni, I fundraised for Hope for Justice. I followed them on social media, got their updates. And eventually, as I graduated about 6 or 7 years ago, a job came up, the perfect job with all the skills that I'd been learning at university. And so I applied and I got the job, and I've never looked back since. For the last nearly 7 years now, I've been the voice for those that are hidden and forgotten about in society, trying to represent them and trying to get other people to join the movement. So as UK Partnerships Manager, my job is just to inspire others to join that movement, because we believe that we should be living in a world free from slavery. And with there being 25 million slaves in the world today, we know that this is a big task, but we've got a bigger God, and we believe that we have that kind of responsibility as Christians to be reaching out to the lost and the broken, and to be restoring their freedom. So for those of you that came last year, there's been quite a lot of development, and I thought for those that don't know anything about Hope for Justice, it would be good to start off just giving you a bit of background to what Hope for Justice do, the different countries we operate in. And something really exciting that happened towards the end of the year is we've actually just launched some projects in Africa. So we now work in Uganda and in Ethiopia, working with street children to prevent them from being exploited. So I just want to show you a quick video that just explains a bit about all of those things that have been going on since last year when I came. So if you want to watch the screen.
When people first hear about modern slavery and the millions caught up in it, often they're overwhelmed by the statistics, they're heartbroken by the brutality and the violence of modern slavery, and they literally don't know what to do about fellow human beings being exploited for profit. One of the survivors that we worked with a few years ago said to me, "Ben, I didn't need someone to cry about this issue, I needed someone to do something about it." That's what we've built here in Hope for Justice, a thought-through professional response to the issue of modern-day slavery. Hope for Justice has a home and abroad strategy. Wherever modern slavery exists, we are committed to stamping it out. The best way to do that is to prevent it from happening in the first place. That's why we work with women in some of the poorest parts of the world, giving them the tools and education they need to protect their families. Our staff work with street children who are so vulnerable to predatory traffickers. We give these children the support and schooling that they need and get them back safely to their families. We rescue victims, Our specialist teams identify victims of sex trafficking, of forced labor, and domestic servitude. We build bridges of trust and get them to safety. But rescue isn't an event. It's a process. It's where restoring lives begins. At our aftercare facilities, where highly trained staff provide trauma-informed care, from immediate crisis intervention to long-term education and vocational learning. For our adult survivors, we advocate on their behalf to get them the support that they need to make the most of the new opportunities that freedom brings. The goal is always restoration and reintegration. Abolishing slavery for good depends on reforming society. We are working with businesses, with governments, with the public, raising awareness, improving legislation, training thousands to spot the signs and to respond. Creating nations and societies hostile to modern slavery, where it will no longer be tolerated. Our team are changing lives and ending slavery. Investigators drawn from prestigious law enforcement agencies like the FBI and Greater Manchester Police. Lawyers and social workers with years of experience who are with the survivor for every step of the journey towards restoration. Educators who specialize in trauma-informed care. Outreach workers who engage directly with those who are the hardest to reach. Training teams who share our expertise with other professionals. Self-help group leaders who go out into their own communities to make a real difference. All of them share one aim. Because Hope for Justice is part of a movement of people who refuse to live in a world where human beings are treated as commodities and sold in front of their own eyes. We refuse to live in a world where the bodies of men, women and children are used for profit, forced to work, made to cook and clean as domestic slaves, or pushed into the sex trade. We're creating a world where children are free to be educated, run and play. Men can provide for their families, that businesses are upstanding in society, that governments protect the poor. When we decide enough is enough, things change. I believe in the power of when we use our voice for things that matter. I believe it echoes out into the darkest places of our communities. I believe it because I've seen it. I've seen the goodness of humanity. I've seen the end of slavery. I saw it in the first girl that we rescued. In my mind, we already live in a world free from slavery. Just history hasn't caught up yet.
So that's a bit of an overview of what we do. I love that bit at the end where it says history hasn't caught up yet, because actually when God created humanity, created the earth, he created us to live in freedom. He never wanted this to happen, and so we are fighting to make sure that everyone that God creates gets to live in the freedom that he created them to live in. And as you could see there's loads of work going on. So you may already know that we are based in the UK. We have investigation hubs where ex-police investigators go out. We train police officers, we train health and social workers, we train homeless shelters, churches to spot the signs, and then we act on the intelligence they give us to bring people out of slavery. And we actually have a hub in Yorkshire that covers this area of the country. So we have rescued people in Lincolnshire, we have trained people in this area, and we're really seeing a great impact in the UK. But like I said, there's some exciting news. We've started working out in Africa, and what we're able to do is reach out to thousands of street children on the streets of Uganda and Ethiopia who are really vulnerable and are preyed upon by traffickers because they have no one to look after them. They have no hope. They're desperate to find food and have a living and have a shelter. And so those traffickers prey upon them. But what we're doing is we've set up lighthouse centres. And basically, we have outreach workers. They're local people that go out onto the street and they speak to these children. And what we do in the Lighthouse Centre is when they arrive, they get some trauma counselling from social workers and psychotherapists. so that they can kind of start to come to terms with what they've been through. But then what we want to do is break that poverty cycle, and so we give them an education. So we have educational workshops in schools that they get trained in every day. They get to go to school, they get an education. We teach them about the kind of risk factors of being on the street and what that means. And we're starting to get them to dream again, to think about what they want to do for their futures. And then the most important thing is, while they're in this assessment centre, the Lighthouse Centre, we work around the clock to try and trace their family or their local community to see if it's a good place for them to go back to. A lot of people, you would have seen the community groups we train up, a lot of people, they don't want to sell their children, but what they see is that there's a work opportunity in a bigger city, and they see it as a way for them to reach out and have a better life. Yet some of the people that they are kind of giving them over to haven't got their best interests at heart. So we're teaching them of those risks. We're teaching the community leaders and these groups to do simple things like what it is to save money. A lot of them don't have bank accounts. So we set up these community bank accounts where people can start saving. So if they do come into a time where they're short of money, they don't have to send their children out to work, but they've got this fund as a local community that they can use for different families so that they don't have to send their children out and the children can stay in school. And we're seeing that that's having a major impact. The villages that we're working in now haven't had any children being trafficked or being sent out to work, and they're able to stay in school. So we're seeing a really big impact, and little by little we're really starting to see like a big impact being made of those 25 million people trapped in slavery. It's starting to get reduced. But we have a way to go, and I wanted to focus my whole talk today on love your neighbour, because actually what God says as one of the most important commandments is the whole ethos that Hope for Justice is founded on. So I want us to turn today to Matthew 26, verse 36 to 40. So if you have a Bible, please turn to it. I think we're going to have it come up on the screen, which is great. I'm going to read from the Message Trust, Message Bible, sorry, not the Message Trust, that's a charity. So it might be slightly different, but if we follow on the screen. So Matthew 22. So it says this: when the Pharisees heard how he had bested the Sadducees, they gathered their forces for an assault. One of their religion scholars spoke for them, posing a question they hoped would show him up. Teacher, which command in God's law is the most important? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegged. Everything in God's law and the prophet hangs from them. So as we're talking about kingdom living and that whole scenario, this is what God is saying directly. It comes through Jesus, who says the two things that you need to base your whole kingdom living on is love your God with all your passion, prayer and intelligence, and love others as well as you love yourself. And in the Message, it says at the very end, these two commands are pegs that everything in God's law and the prophet hangs from. And I just want us to think a bit about that, because if we think about a peg, whether that is a peg you put on your washing line to hang your washing up with, or whether it's a peg that you put in the ground to keep your tent up, what that is doing is it securing something in place. It is setting up a foundation to make it secure so that other things can hang from it. And when we think about that, that's what God is saying to us about these two commands. If we can put all of our focus on that, if we put all our focus on these two commands of loving God and loving others as we would love ourselves, then everything else will hang from it and hang in place. But if we don't, if we ignore that foundation that he wants us to focus on, those structures that the pegs are supposed to support, because the pegs aren't in place enough, if we think about a weather, like a storm that might come to like get the tent maybe falls down because of a gale force wind, or your washing, if it's not pegged on enough, it's going to blow off and go into the dirt. It's the same with us. If we don't put our foundations in those two commandments, then nothing else can hang from it, and we can't live out what God has wanted us to do. So when we think about those two commandments, think about the end of that verse that says they are pegs. They are the two things that we need to focus on, and then everything else will fall into place. So just to set the context to this Bible verse, before the Pharisees came along, it even says there, they had gathered their forces for an assault. This wasn't them just questioning God, wanting to find out more. They weren't questioning Jesus because they had started to believe what he was saying and were really intrigued. They saw Jesus as a threat, and this was an evil plot that they had put against Jesus. They put up, I suppose, what the kind of modern equivalent is of their lawyer. So they had put a religious scholar in front of Jesus who knew all of the different laws that they followed. And it says in the Bible that there were over 600 laws that these Pharisees would follow. Some of them were what they called negative laws, things they shouldn't do, and the others were positive laws, things that they should do. So there were over 600. So for them, they knew all of them, and they lived by them. And they thought, they kind of posed this as a question, thinking it was a trick question, because how could Jesus decide on just one when they knew you had to follow all of them? So they had plotted this evil plot. They had started to notice that people had started following Jesus, had started listening to him, and they didn't like that. They were leaders, and they wanted people to follow them. They wanted to catch Jesus out. But what we found was Jesus used this opportunity to teach us the greatest lesson that God wants to let us know about, and that is about love. It gave Jesus the opportunity to share about these two commandments that I just spoke about. So this plot to do evil actually turned around for good. And isn't this how God works a lot of our situations? If you think about in your life, it could be a situation that seems pure evil. So it could be sickness that is in your body. It could be a situation where it feels like your family are against you and there's no way out. Maybe it's a job that didn't work out and you just feel like there's no good in that situation. Well, actually, we can see from what Jesus did here that God wants to use that evil situation for good. And that's what we believe at Hope for Justice, is that we can, from what God has taught us, from the ethos, from him telling us to go out and love our neighbours, we are trying to use the evil situation of trafficking and slavery to rescue people and turn that situation for good. And there are so many stories that I could tell of people's lives that have been turned around. And when you hear about the abuse and the slavery they've been trapped in, it can feel like, how can any good come out of that situation? How can someone overcome it? But I want to share a story with you today of a girl called Fazia, and she is one of the girls we worked in Ethiopia. Now, Fazia was just 13 years old. Here she is there on the screen. And she lived in a rural village in Ethiopia with her parents and her many siblings. She's got six brothers and sisters, and she was the oldest. So she was 13, and all of her younger brothers and sisters lived together with their family. Now, bad health hit her mum, and over time her mum deteriorated and died. And soon after, in that culture, her father quickly remarried. But her stepmum didn't accept her and her brothers and sisters and really didn't treat her well, and they really didn't get on. So Fazia decided that the best thing for her and her brothers and sisters was to move in with her grandparents. So they moved away, and although she had faced tragic circumstances in just a short amount of her life, she made the best of that life with her grandparents, and she went to school, she got to play with her brothers and sisters. They lived together as a family. They didn't have a lot, but they made the most of what they did have. And one day her dad returned, he returned and he decided to come and see Fazia. And he talked about this amazing opportunity for a job where she could get rich. She could, you know, she could supply money, she could supply a better living for her family. And for Fazia, although she was 13, she wanted the best for her family and she trusted her dad. And so she decided to move away to a city, to the capital of Ethiopia in Addis Ababa, and go and work there with a job that her dad had lined up for her. She was going to start sending the money back home so that her grandparents didn't have to worry, because they were getting older, they didn't have to worry about supplying for their family, but that her, all her brothers and sisters could carry on in school. But when Fazia started working for her employer, she had to live with them as well. She's only 13 years old. She started to realise that she was being treated unfairly. She started to be violently abused by her employer for the littlest things that she might get wrong. The work that he asked her to do wasn't acceptable for a young girl. It was overwhelming, the physical kind of labour she had to do. She couldn't speak the same language as everyone in that city, so she couldn't even ask for help. She couldn't ask people to explain how to do her job better. And one day, her employer decided that she obviously wasn't good enough to do the work and falsely accused her of stealing so that he could throw her out. And he literally chucked all of her belongings out of the window and chucked her out onto the street. She didn't know anyone. She didn't speak the language. Just think about that for a minute. Maybe you are a teenager here. Maybe you've got a son or a daughter who is 13. Just think about them alone in a city where they can't speak the language, they don't know anyone, they have no money, hardly any belongings. And so Fazia found herself living on the streets. And in Ethiopia, at night, living on the streets, it's very dangerous. There are gangs of other children who may come and beat you up and take your belongings. There are traffickers preying on young girls. And she found herself in that position. Luckily, though, there was a project that we were running with a local agency, and there was a social worker that went out at night, and she came across Fazia one night, and she took her to the local police station. That's what happens when someone's found. They're taken to the police station, they're registered as a missing child, and then they are taken to a government institution, and we were working with that government institution, so they brought her to our Lighthouse Centre. So when she got there, we asked her everything, to tell us everything about what happened, if she remembered where she was from, what her name was, what her age was, started to create a picture of what we could do to try and track her family. And our workers out there said she was one of the most disciplined and cooperative and respectful girls. She wanted to do everything she could to get back to her family. And over the next few months, she started to kind of catch up with her education and started to really kind of get to grips with what had happened to her and started to really restore her life back to what it had been before she was put into slavery. And after several months, our social workers were able to find her grandparents. And we located a family, and this is the day that she was reunited with her grandma. And everyone said that everyone who was there, all the villagers, all the workers, the family, there wasn't a dry eye in the place because they were able to be reunited with their family because their family had never wanted her to live in slavery. All they ever wanted was for them to have a better way of life. And they were vulnerable to the trafficker. And so what they did was they trained that community then to spot the signs. And they were able to train them to look at the different opportunities they had so that they didn't have to go down this route again. That's just one story of the many lives that we are changing, and one story to show you that actually God is love, and when we love God, when we love our neighbour, we can turn evil situations into good. I showed you there the many different ways that we are working. We're working to prevent exploitation, we're working to rescue victims of trafficking, to restore their lives through the social work, through the trauma therapy, and then to reform society. We really believe that actually to change this, we need to change government laws to make it harder for people to traffic and easier for us to access the help that people need. So that's just one story. But I want us to go on to look at loving our neighbour in a bit more detail. Because Jesus throughout the Bible tells us of different ways we can do that. One of the biggest stories that I always remember as a child is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because loving our neighbour doesn't just mean loving our family or loving our church community or even loving our next door neighbour. What God showed us with the Samaritan was he reached out to someone who he shouldn't even be seen in public with, who he was supposed to hate, yet he saw someone in need and knew that God would want him to love on them. So he reached out to look after that person. He gave money to make sure that they, when he dropped them off at the inn, that they had all the help they needed to get back on track with their life. And that's what God's asking us to do. It isn't just looking at the people in our local community, but looking beyond at everyone we come into contact with. And I want us to look at our next verse now, which is John 15, verse 9 to 17. Because Jesus defined the greatest love as laying down his life. And if we follow the verse, it says this: as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learnt from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. And the first bit that really kind of stands out is the fact that he says that he lays down his life for us. Jesus literally died on the cross for us so that we could have that relationship with God. But when he died and rose again, he then said that it was now our responsibility to go out and lay our lives down for others. Now, that doesn't mean we have to literally lay our lives down, although some people have done that in history. But as Christians, he wants us to figuratively lay our lives down and make that sacrifice for others. And maybe that is us sacrificing our time. It could be time in some of the outreach things that you do here in church. It could be sacrificing your time to reach out to someone in your workplace that you know is struggling. It could be sacrificing your time maybe to help with a charity like Hope for Justice, something that God has laid down on your heart. Maybe it is laying down some of your finance as well, like God asks us to tithe into church and to give to charitable causes. There are lots of different ways that we can sacrifice ourselves for others, the same as what Jesus did for us. And then it says, again, he reiterates what we saw in the verse in Matthew, which says, this is my command: love each other. And that's what he asked us. That's what he said the greatest commands were: love God. And in effect, if you love God, you will then love others, because God's heart is to love everyone that he created. So I want to give you an opportunity in a bit to think a bit more about, maybe if you've been compelled to do something today for Hope for Justice, to actually give freedom to others. There's lots of different ways you can get involved, and I'm going to speak about that a bit later. But like I said earlier, Hope for Justice's whole ethos is based on the verse of loving one another. We believe that every life matters, and when you look at the figure of 25 million slaves, it can seem overwhelming. But what we do is we look at each one of those 25 million, and rather seeing it as a number, we see it as someone's life. Every life is being created with a purpose that God has for them. Every life has dreams. Every life has a family. Every life has different gifts that God has given them to use. And we want to make sure that those lives that are trapped in slavery, that maybe are hidden from society, that are going through abuse, that aren't able to live in freedom, are given that freedom back to live out God's purpose for them. We have a mission statement, which is we believe that we should be living in a world free from slavery, and we want to do that by preventing exploitation, by rescuing victims, restoring lives, and reforming society. And I, referring back to the video that we watched earlier and Fazia's story that I just told, it shows you a snapshot of the thousands of lives we've been able to impact. But like I say, there are still 25 million people in the world today trapped in slavery. And we have a big vision, but we have a bigger God, and we believe that as a church you're already impacting that. And we want to thank you for the generosity that you've shown, because we really couldn't do it without churches partnering with us. We really believe that if we can unite as a church, as a whole, in the UK and across the world, we're really going to be able to see a difference made, whether that's you praying, taking that time, sacrificing that time to pray into the work and pray into those 25 million people trapped. You've partnered with us. We have six guardians in the room that decided last year to stand with us. And you've seen the impact you've made. We wouldn't have been able to rescue Fazia without your help. And I want to share with you one more story to show you the kind of knock-on effect that once someone is rescued, what they can go on to do. And this is one of the most inspirational stories that I know of, and it really inspires me every day to see what this person has overcome. And this is a story about someone called Marie, and she was trapped in slavery in Cambodia. She was trapped there for a few years, and when we rescued her, she was only 16 years old. We run a dream home in Cambodia, and we named it a dream home. It's a long-term residential program for girls who've been trapped in sex trafficking who are under the age of 18. And this is a long-term residential program where they have house mums that look after them. They get trauma counseling. We have set up a shine school, which is a school where they can go, because in Cambodia, girls aren't favoured for education, so they can't break that poverty cycle. So we take them and train them and we educate them so that they can go out and get a job. And we call it Dream Home because we want them to dream again. When someone's trapped in slavery and they have lost all their hope, it can feel like there is nothing else to live for. But by us living out, loving our neighbour, we are able to give them their dreams back. And so I want to share with you now Marie's story, and we're just going to watch it on a video because it's told better by her in person rather than myself.
Marie grew up in Kandal province here in Cambodia. She lived in abject poverty. At the age of 10 years old, her mom and dad decided to move to Phnom Penh for a better life, a better future. She worked in a cafe and then went on to sell phones.
And then she got this opportunity, but she was tricked.
Marie was taken to a place just like this. She thought she was there for a legitimate job. She went into the room, but the man tried to abuse her. She ran out to reach out to the owner to explain what was happening and ask him for compassion, but he had none. And he forced her to go back into the room only to be violently exploited. Marie was just 13 years old. This abuse that she was subjected to lasted for 2 long years.
So when Marie came to our program, she doesn't want to stay. She doesn't trust anyone. It's just like staring. And if people come close to her, she's just like yelling. Like, I don't want you guys. Go away from me. Get me out. And she also stressed that she got to kill herself.
Yeah, because you were carrying a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Yes.
And did we help with that pain.
You want to weep all the time, but you can't
chew
it up, no?
Ban chui.
Yes.
Did it feel safe here?
We mean to have the peep turn, but I caught her. Don't you think pay? That who knows no nun? Pay your client, gang, and don't matter how much they are, you say.
The message that we share to Mary, that sister, you are suffering us, and we here with you. We're not gonna let you go back to that hardship situations again that you experienced in the last couple of years. We're gonna hold your hand and walk across the journey of restoration. You are being protected and you can walk to reach your dreams.
It's thanks to guardians, people just like you, that for the next 2 years, Marie was nurtured in a safe place, given education and therapy. I'm thrilled to say she is now graduated from our program and is pursuing her dreams in life.
So when I see the girl graduated from the Hope for Justice program, my heart is full of joy. And the message that I want to speak out to her and to all the teams at Hope for Justice is like, this girl made it. Like, you got it.
មានតែមោទនភាពខ្លួនឯងពេកក៏ពិបាកប៉ុន្តែគាត់ថាផងហើយខ្ញុំធ្វើការនៅក្នុងខាងមួយគាត់ថាអត់ដែលនឹកស្មានថាខ្លួនឯងមានមកដល់ចំណុចហ្នឹងគាត់ថាអនាគតរបស់ខ្ញុំគិតថាវានឹងល្អទៅថ្ងៃណាទៅថ្ងៃអនាគតទៅមុខទៀត
What she has had to walk through in her life is just unspeakable.She has given her all to beat the darkness in her past, and she is a beacon of light, and I'm just overwhelmed today. I'm overwhelmed by the fact that that girl is laughing, that girl is... went back to see the girls in our program, and she said, don't give up. She said, I know what you're walking through. I mean, you know, what a role model for us all, and I just want to thank you. You've made Plato.Massive part in her life changes. You are a hero to her, and she is a hero to me. Thank you. Today, we're inviting you to become a guardian. Because there are literally millions more girls just like Mary. A guardian stands up for the Marys of this world. A guardian rescues them. A guardian restores their dreams. A guardian reforms society to end slavery forever.Become a guardian today and change the life of a girl just like Mary.
Yeah. I actually got to go have the privilege of going out to Cambodia last June. Like, literally, it was this weekend last June that I went out there. And I got to meet some of the girls that Marie was with in that video. And it's just amazing to see, like...When you see things on, like, Comic Relief or Children in Need, you know, where they show a video from the project, I was kind of expecting to be like, oh, I'm going to be overwhelmed, I'm going to be really sad, it's going to be really hard to see some of these girls that have just been brought out of slavery. And literally, as I went into the room, they're all just laughing and joking like normal teenagers are. They're looking at, like, fashion, they're dancing, they love Zumba.You know, they're listening to the latest kind of Western pop music. They just want to be teenagers, and it's just amazing to see that the work that Hope for Justice are doing by our guardians, our church partners enabling us to do it, has meant that we're able to give someone their childhood back. And they are getting fully restored. Marie has decided that even for her, that evil situation she was in,She's turned around for good, and she had a real passion for art. And we were able to train her up to a level which meant she now has a job in an art gallery. And now she's living out what God has asked us to do by loving your neighbour. She goes back regularly to the dream home to inspire other girls that have been through the same thing. For her, she could have just decided to kind of think, I'm going to forget about everything I went through and move on.But every time she goes back, she obviously is reminded of her own trauma, but she decides to use that evil situation for good and inspire the other girls to carry on going. And so that inspires me to think, well, if someone like Marie can do that, what can I do in my life to help other people like her if I live out what God commanded us to do, which is to love our neighbour? So I want to invite you today, if you would like to become a guardian and help people like Marie and Faziah, you have guardian forms on your seats and pens. And if you would like to sign up, we ask for £15 a month as a guideline. If you would like to give more, then amazing. If you can't give that much, then that's fine. We would love for you to stand in that gap and to love your neighbour. And if this is something that you're compelled to do, I want to give you that opportunity now. Don't wait. Don't take it home. If you're like me and you have a bag that is like Mary Poppins' bag, you think, I'll think about it and I'll do it later. I'll send it back in. You'll probably find it a year later at the bottom of your bag, all crumpled up. Decide to make that pledge today. Because like I said, like if you want to start filling your forms out, if you feel compelled, someone like Marie and Faziah, they have a future now. And that is all because people like you have stood in that gap and thought, do you know what? I can do something. I can love on them. And we call it a guardian program because actually you may never get to see that person that you've helped. You may never get to meet them. They may never hear your voice. But like a guardian angel, they know that there is someone looking out for them. You may be across the other side of the world, but they know there's someone looking out for them who's going to help rescue and restore their lives. And we can have that knowledge knowing that you have had an impact on their lives. Just a few practicalities if you are filling the forms out. If you don't have your bank address, please don't worry. It's a formality we have to put on the form, but we can still process your donation without it. If you could put some contact details on there, if you don't have the other details, we can call you in the week if you can't fill it all out now. And lastly, if you're a gift aider, if you pay tax, please tick the gift aid box at the bottom because we can then get 25p for every pound you give, which then makes a £15 donation, £18.75, and we can rescue even more people. And lastly, we really want to let you know about the impact you are making as a guardian. So please tick the boxes where it says to get email updates, postal, phone, however you would like to be informed. We want to make sure that you know the impact you're making as a guardian. So I just want to kind of reiterate what I've said. When you think about, when you go home today, think about not only the people I've told you about, but think about those people in your world. Are you living out what God commanded us to do, to love God and love our neighbour? Maybe there's some changes you think you need to make, but we're going to give you an opportunity in a few moments to take communion and really take that opportunity as you go before God and we break bread and we drink wine and we remember the sacrifice he laid down his life for us. Think about what you can do. Just have that time with God to really think about what you can do, what changes you might need to make, what God is saying to you about the message that we've brought about sacrificing your life for others. So in a few moments we're going to kind of let you make your way up to the back and you have that time to reflect on what's been spoken about today. Maybe think about how you want to maybe get more involved. And if you do want to find out a bit more, me and my brother Josh, we're going to be at the back at the very end. Come and speak to us, talk through the Guardian option with us. There are so many other ways you can get involved. If you're a business leader, we have things that you can get involved in. There are loads of other ways that we can use your time, your skills, to help impact more people and love on our neighbours. So I will leave you to take communion.